driver, start your engines!
The Lapped Traffic Podcast has brought you over 300 shows, driver and media interviews, awesome stories and entertainment, and one of the coolest fantasy leagues around. Get ready for another exciting season. Sit back, relax, and try not to get lapped. Now, here's your host, the Professor, Brendan Crump!
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? I am your host, the Professor Brendan Crump. Yes, welcome to episode number 333 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. How is everyone doing? It's great to be back with you all. The siren rang in Dawsonville yesterday, ending a 42-race winless streak dating back to 2022 for Chase Elliott. More on that later. What have y'all been up to? It's been chaotic as hell over here, as one could expect. Had a busy weekend this past weekend. Friday night, went to WWE SmackDown, which was awesome. I think this is about the 15th WWE show that I've dragged my wife to. She's still not a fan, but she is still a trooper for going with me since I drag her to three-hour shows about 3 to 4 times a year. She did say this one was her last one that she was going to, and I said, well, that's definitely incorrect, because as soon as Alden's going to be old enough to go, then it's going to be a family affair for sure. So this definitely was not her last show. She may get a break maybe for a couple shows, but it's definitely not her last show. Saturday, did some yard work. Yesterday morning, went to the zoo with a little guy, which was a ton of fun. Hung out on the patio. We got back, and here we are. Business is going. Still have some weekend dates open for graduation season, which I'm hoping to fill, because Thursday night this week, I'm doing a vendor night at a local high school. Going to take some food samples up, all that good stuff. So that should be fun. And speaking catering and business, shameless plug, this week's show is brought to you by Three's a Crowd Catering. Do you want to impress the next crowd you host? Then let me, Brandon Crowd of Three's a Crowd Catering, bring my passion from hosting our own friends and family and our kitchen to yours, featuring barbecue, Italian, and American menu options, summer events, and graduation season. It's not right around the corner anymore, because it's here. Book your next event by calling or texting 586-668-5835. Visit our website, 3crowdcatering.com. That's the number 3crowdcatering.com. Follow on social media as well at 3crowdcatering. Let the crowds cater your next crowd. And okay, how about the last show, episode 332, with TikTok sensation Natalie Rose and John Hunter Nemechek? Got a lot of positive feedback on that show, which was awesome. Hope you all enjoyed that. And we're going to keep it in the Legacy family this week with Eric Jones, Detroit native, well, not Detroit native, Michigan native Eric Jones, who will be back on the show in just a minute. And we are going to catch up with the legendary Brian Newdorf. There will be some Twitter fun that we will have had when I drop that interview in, which I recorded about 20 minutes ago. So I can spoiler alert and set up the teaser on that. So stay tuned for that. Lap Traffic Fantasy is well in the mix. We'll get to that a little later on. So let's kick things off. Let's get Eric Jones back on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his fourth appearance on the show. He is the driver, number 43, Dollar Tree Toyota with Legacy Motor Club. Welcome back from our great state of Michigan, Eric Jones. What's up, brother? How are ya?
Oh, I'm doing good. How about you?
Awesome, man. Thanks for coming back. It's been a minute since you've been on, so glad to have you back and to be able to catch up with you. There's been a lot going on at Legacy. Manufacturer changes, new team in the 42. What's it like for you being the veteran guy over there with all these changes?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of change. You know, really the last 3 years, we've went through a lot of huge changes from Petty GMS to Legacy to, you know, now Toyota and Legacy. So kind of starting from ground zero in some ways this year, and in other ways not. You know, the 43 group has been really similar the last couple of years as far as personnel and that side. But the manufacturer's change has been probably a bigger switch than what was anticipated by all, I think, at the off season and, you know, compared to the start of this year. So been working through that and getting things, you know, fine-tuned and straightened up the way we want them to be. And I think, you know, we're getting there slowly where we want to be. We've improved over the last month. We're staying in the playoff hunt, which is good. We need to rack some points up here these next handful of weeks and get some stage points. But, you know, overall things have been trending the right way the last couple of weeks. So happy with that. And, you know, hope we can keep heading that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, you mentioned the manufacturer change, and, you know, everyone knows that it's been a while since teams could kind of just go and test, if you will. So when you do have that sort of change, you know, what things can you guys do in the shop and all of that when you are changing manufacturers to help get ready? Or is it, man, we're just building them and we'll see what we get when we get to the track?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, we had one test in the off season, which was good. But, you know, after that, not really anything. And so kind of learning on the fly with a lot of different tools that we have this year, new tools that are different to Toyota from where we came from. And so it's a lot of educated guesses. It's a lot of, you know, good people and trying to figure it all out. But, you know, overall, it's we're getting there. It's going to take, you know, probably another month or two to feel like we're really where we want to be, I think, as far as a group and where we are on our data and sure. our learning on a lot of stuff. But, you know, we've got good people in place that are doing a good job right now. Kind of getting us to where we want to be.
No, for sure. It's been an interesting start to the season in terms of, you know, the tracks we've been to. We've run rain tires at an oval, the tire fiasco at Bristol, throw in Daytona and Atlanta, which are their own beasts. It seems like a lot of teams are struggling to kind of hit that groove. Do you guys feel that way? Like, has it been an odd start to the season aside from the manufacturer change and all that kind of stuff? You know, does it just feel a little different, or is that just the couch fan in some of us and what we are seeing on social media and all of that?
No, I think it has been a bit different. It, you know, the track's obviously pretty unique here to start the year. Only 1 mile and a half that we've been to. Well, you know, not, we don't really count Atlanta in that group anymore. That's more of a speedway. But yeah, Vegas really only a mile and a half that we've been to this year. And the rest have been short tracks and road course and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, that's been unique. And it is a bit challenging to kind of get in the groove with that, you know, but now we're kind of heading into a stretch here of kind of a more normal stretch of races coming up with, you know, Texas this week, Talladega, Dover, you know, these places are kind of more traditional for us. So, you know, I'm excited about that. You know, Martinsville and Richmond were good for us. Those were probably two of our, you know, worst races last year. And we got top 15 in both of them, which I was happy with. So, you know, Texas, I think our hopes are pretty high on our group. You know, we ran really strong there last fall, and I feel like we've ran good there in the next gen car in general. So hoping we can carry some of that over, you know, to that track, and, you know, hopefully improve a bit even with the manufacturer switch to Toyota. So excited to get there this weekend and kind of see how we're going to line up.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny. It's almost like you had the questions that I had for you, because you switched perfectly there, because that was kind of going to be what I was going to say. You know, Texas has been pretty good for you. Good runs the last 2 weeks. And some good tracks coming up for you, and especially once you guys get to Darlington, where you've had some wins at. So is that something that you guys can use as a, you know, momentum boost, shot in the arm, so to speak, to go into the second half of the first part of the regular season?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we're all hoping for. You know, we had a couple of races earlier in the year that we didn't get the finishes I think we were capable of. We got wrecked right away at Atlanta and Phoenix. We had a good car, got wrecked. And then, so we've kind of been through some ups and downs. And then the last couple of weeks, we've had some really smooth races where, you know, really no hiccups and things have went really well. And, we've been able to run to our capability. You know, we didn't exceed, we ran right to where I thought our speed was. So, you know, hope in Texas, we kind of take that next step in speed. You know, we've been on the cusp of the top 10 here these last couple of weeks, and I'd like to, you know, bust up into the top 10 and closer to the top 5 and, you know, start contending for some stage points and just running up front a little bit farther and, you know, getting ourselves in a better position to be in, you know, playoff contention here as the season goes. So that's going to start this weekend. The summer stretch for us is usually just a better stretch in general for the tracks that we go to. So I'm excited about that and kind of getting into more of a swing here of, you know, places we run well at, excel at, and, you know, everybody's getting more and more on the same page and from the team and the pit crew and everybody. So, you know, hoping to kind of put that all together again this week in Texas and just get some more points.
Wrap it up with a nice little bow, right?
For sure.
I know Michigan is a ways away, but since, you know, it's both our home track, so to speak. I had the opportunity to have lunch with MIS track president Joe Fowler a couple weeks ago. And he truly, you know, loves the sport, loves his new track. Have you had an opportunity to chat with him at all since he took over a couple years ago?
A handful of times, you know, I've talked to him but love going up there, love going to Michigan. I wish we still went there twice a year, you know.
You and me both.
I think that, you know, would be great with this car. Obviously that, you know, the race was struggling a bit with the old car and putting on a good race, but I feel like the next gen races the last couple of years have been really good up there and put on a good race. So would love to get back to going there twice, but I always look forward to going there and just getting back home. And, you know, we always have, you know, obviously a big group with us coming to the race and hanging out and watching. And we've ran good there the last couple of years as well. But, you know, definitely on, you know, bucket list wins and tracks to win at, Michigan is probably top of that. I would say right now I would love to win a race at home and win there. That would be a pretty neat one. So, yeah, always excited to go there. And that time of year is really nice up there as well.
Absolutely, yes. And no, I know the fans would love to see that as well, see you in Victory Lane. Last one for you. Eric, I know you've been to a couple Michigan basketball games, so I'm going to assume you're a Michigan fan. Were you just as excited as I was to see that national championship victory finally come back to the Big House?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I don't remember the last one. I was about a year old. So, don't remember that one, but obviously, went through some rough years, over the last, you know, 15 years watching the Michigan, and last, you know, 5 years have been obviously pretty good to us making the playoffs and being in contention and finally getting obviously to the big game and taking it home was really neat. You know, it was just, I couldn't make it out. I had a different trip plan that I was on during that, but I did get to watch the whole game and take it in and see it, which was great. But yeah, super neat and just glad to see him take one home. And yeah, I mean, hope they keep it rolling now. You know, I would love to see him go back again.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that we got Moore as our coach. I think he's going to do fantastic things. You know, might have a little hiccup or regression, but I'm with you there. Eric, tell everyone where they can follow you on social media, who's on the car this week, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we'll have Dollar Tree on this week. Obviously, they're a huge partner this year for us, being on the car for a lot of races, and hope to get them up front, get them a good run. And yeah, all the social media handles for us is just Eric_Jones. So we're staying up to date there, and hopefully we're posting some good photos this week from a strong run, or even a win would be nice. So we'll be up on it for sure.
Absolutely. Awesome, man. Best of luck this week. Thanks for calling in. Great to catch up with you, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Take care. We'll see ya.
See ya.
Lap Traffic Nation, great to catch up with Eric Jones there. Can't wait to see him at MIS a little later on this summer. Just some quick things that I want to touch upon here. We'll start with the truck race. Kyle Busch, truck win number 66, second truck win of the year for him. Total win across all three series, 231. I'm going to use this phrase here in a little bit here when I get to Chase Elliott in just a couple of minutes, but Kyle Busch is good for the sport. In all three series, he's good for the sport. We've talked about it at length in the past, but I feel it is worth reiterating in terms of, and I myself, hands in the air, 100% guilty of this prior to the podcast, prior to kind of getting to know a little bit more. And I'm not even going to pretend to say I know a lot, but finally getting able to realize the benefit of Cup guys like a Kyle Busch going and running in the Xfinity Series or the Truck Series. Now, granted, he doesn't have his team anymore, so it's not even the benefit of helping to draw sponsors for, you know, the younger guys that may have been on his team or anything like that, but it still helps draw attention, put some butts in the seats, to quote WCW back in the day. That'll put some butts in some seats. It's good. It helps bring some awareness and attention. And hey, maybe there's a new fan that just latched on to Kyle Busch and heard he was running the Truck Series. Maybe they went to the race. Maybe they turned it on. So I love that. That's awesome. Over on the Xfinity side of things, what a final couple laps that was, with Sam Mayer edging out Ryan Sieg for his first win of the year. He picked up four last year. So I don't expect this to be the last win for Ryan Sieg. We have Matt DiBenedetto in the field, which was pretty cool. If you're a Matt DiBurrito fan, I've always been a Matt DiBenedetto fan, so I thought that was kind of cool. And let's see. Over on the Cup side, Chase Elliott picks up his first win, as I mentioned at the start of the show, ended a little drought there, if you will. And they mentioned it on the broadcast. They, you know, Chase Elliott winning is good for the sport, and it is good for the sport. Now, if you're a Joey Logano fan yesterday, maybe wasn't that good. If you're a Kyle Busch fan and we're hoping to see him in victory lane twice this weekend, not so good. But if you step back from your fandom of who your driver is, just like I had to do, right? When you assess why is that good for the sport, it's good for the sport because he is the most popular driver, hands down. So when your most popular driver isn't winning or hasn't been to victory lane in a moment, you know, it can keep things a little stale, right? So it was a great win. And look at it this way too, right? Like, you finally had your most popular driver snap a winless streak, picks up the win at a track that catches a lot of shade, right? Like, let's go back a week or two ago with Denny Hamlin going on a little Twitter rant there with, SMI and all of that. So, you know, to get Chase Elliott, a popular driver, it helps maybe take away from the lackluster event, if you will, that we had on the track there. So, I'm very happy to see Chase Elliott back in victory lane. I thought that was really good. Okay, a little condensed there. Not going to lie, I apologize. It was a busy weekend, so I didn't get to see a ton of racing. I did catch a little bit of the truck race and did catch about the last 30 laps or so yesterday. So I'm not going to pretend to have watched more to give you fluff. So I will talk about what I know, and there you have it. So let's do a little Lap Traffic social media, shall we? Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, all at Lap Traffic PC. If you've made it this far into the show, leave a review, tell your friends, all that good stuff. We've got two giveaways going on. It is a slow struggle there, trying to get to 8,000 followers to give away the autographed number 8 Mark Martin plaque to celebrate season 8 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. That's a lot of 8s in that tongue twister right there. As well as to help grow the business side of things with @3Crowd Catering and @DiningDETPod, which is eventually going to kick off here at some point in time, giving away a Lap Traffic swag pack along with a Kevin Harvick diecast there. So be on the lookout. We'll get those retweeted out every once in a while. Don't forget, I still have stickers and koozies to give away for free. Reach out to me in any capacity. I'll be in touch and get them out to you. All right, let's keep things going. This is the time we would have done the weather segment, which we did for years on the Lap Traffic Podcast with either Aaron Studwell, Brian Newdorf. Then we got on a rotation and all that good stuff. But, you know, as life changes, as the podcast changes, you know, being able to do that on a weekly basis became a lot for all parties involved. So we kind of cut it, and we kind of just have them on every once in a while to talk about, you know, all things Big Ten football, all things Big Ten college basketball. So let's get Mr. Brian Newdorf back on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, very excited here because it's been long overdue that we welcome back to the Lap Traffic Podcast, formerly at NASCAR_WXMAN, now at, just at, his name, Brian Newdorf.
Well, no, I'm still at NASCAR_WXMAN. I'm still there.
Are you?
I have two accounts. Yeah, oh. I've never.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I went to go and like double check, like, you know, see what was going on. I didn't know that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Newdorf, what's up, man?
Well, I'm still at NASCAR_WXMAN. Okay, so I'm good. First of all,
excellent.
I didn't even think you were a podcast anymore. So, you know, there you find that, you know, if we're going to play this game. So I'll be honest. So I actually, because of when I was in television, I've always had at Brian Newdorf.
Okay.
My name always had that because, when I got into television, that was what I had. That was how I went by.
The moniker, and then when, right?
Yes. Well, just that's my brand with my name. That's who I was. And that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started to get into NASCAR weather, at least early on, my numbers started – I started losing followers when I was tweeting NASCAR in, you know, Rochester, New York about NASCAR. So I had to be like, okay, well, the whole point of me with this whole social media thing on television is to retain people.
Right.
I decided, okay, I'll just make the NASCAR weatherman one aside to – the Brian Newdorf one, because that way the Brian Newdorf could tweet weather for where he was living and for where I was doing that TV version of myself, and then the NASCAR could focus mostly on NASCAR. So, and like also, you know, produce sports and different things like that. I still have them separated. I don't know why, but you know, I figured some people just wouldn't care about my everyday life on the NASCAR one. So that's why I've always just kind of kept them separate.
Fair enough. So it's funny because when I, you know, first got on Twitter, right, there's a Twitter account, B Crowd. It was 29, and go figure, at one point, I bet you can guess around what time I switched it to B Crowd 4. And I, you know, for a minute between the podcast, I tried to manage and do two different, you know, accounts. And it was like, all right, I'll do NASCAR or I'll do podcast stuff out of podcast. And then it was like, all right, if I wanted to talk about and fanboy with out with Kevin Harvick or post family stuff, I'd do it out of the B Crowd for it. And it got to the point where I'm just like, screw it. Nope. Everything's just coming out at the podcast one. And I, every once in a while, I'll cause it's still there. And I'm like, oh, let me go send something out from that account and see what happens. And so that I only have like 400 followers on that one, but so that account's just sitting dormant. So, but no, I totally get where you're coming from on the separation there, if you will. So it's been a minute, man. It is good to have you back on here. We do have some college sports to talk about. Just like when Aaron is on, we got to talk Michigan football. When Brian's on, we got to talk Purdue basketball. So you and I actually we caught up over the weekend and we're talking about a little bit. You know, you're not disappointed, which you shouldn't be, because you know you guys got back. So tell, you know, where are you at off season now, Purdue basketball?
I think Purdue fans are, I mean, everything going into after losing to FDU, the 16 seed, all of that, trust me, as Painter liked to say with the team in his press conferences, they had to sit in it, okay? That has been there since that moment. And honestly, for the team, that was the goal was a national championship. And
sure,
you could almost tell. For fans, and even in us in this household, and we hated to say, I kind of hated to say it, but I knew full well that this was the goal. Like, this was a team capable of this for competing for a national championship. It had been, you bring back Zach Edey, the, you know, the reigning now two-time national player of the year. You bring back all the starters from the year before. You didn't lose anybody of that caliber who was, you know, in that number one seed. So, you know, all of these different things. No, we didn't win the Big Ten tourney. But then again, I watched that game and I'm going to be honest, or I watched the Big Ten tourney and I thought to myself, you know, if you ever had a good loss, that was it, getting, you know, before the whatever, to get, you know, Wisconsin took us out. And I was like, you know what, I'm okay with this. I mean, this was really meaningless. We had won the regular Big Ten. We won the Big Ten regular. The I think winning the season over the tournament is so much more. We were all basically fans and everything. We were all okay with that. So getting to the Final Four, so to make long story short, for Purdue and the fan base especially, getting to a Final Four for Matt Painter and everything was the – if we had not made it, had we got even bumped in the Elite Eight by Tennessee or whoever we were going to play, it would have been a disappointment. Most of the fan base, you know, would Painter's, you know, job be hot, the seat be hot? It would have been a little warm. Okay. Now, I did joke that, there is a contingency, there has been for a long time, of what we call the ainters, the people, the Matt Painter haters, and who have wanted Matt to be gone for a very long time. And, you know, they would have been calling for his head either way. But yeah, definitely if he hadn't made it, it would have been a very hot seat. But I always joked with my family too. I said, he won the Big Ten championship. He had one of the best seasons, again, consistently ranked number, you know, up in the top five, if not the top three, all season long, short of basically taking Zach Edey out in the middle of Katie Court at Mackey Arena and shooting him at point blank. He was not going to get fired. Okay.
I want to go back to something you mentioned about, you know, like the, you know, the first finish line, if you will, in terms of getting to the Final Four, because, you know, that in and of itself is a big accomplishment. And that's kind of the, you know, all right, you make it to the Final Four, you're hanging a banner. You can make it to the, you know, Elite Eight, you're probably not hanging a banner unless you're, you know, and
you're not,
you know, unless you're one of like the, you know, community college schools that maybe make their way there. Okay, fine, I get that. But like you said, that is an accomplishment, because if you look up at the number of wins in a row you've probably had to have accomplished by that point, you know, you're talking 6-7 wins just in that tournament, plus you've probably won 2-3 maybe 4 in a row, depending upon the size of your conference for your conference tournament. You know, you start winning 10-11 games in a row, you know, at some point, you know, the bottom is going to fall out, and that streak is hard to keep going. So, you know, that Final Four is, that Final Four is an impressive accomplishment.
And I think it needs to be stated. Number one, you know, when you think of, like, you know, Purdue basketball, and you think of the great coaches and stuff, Gene Katie's there. He's one of our best. He's, you know, outside of, you know, but he never went to a Final Four. Okay, the last Final Four prior to this year was 1980, and Gene Katie wasn't coach yet. So obviously, a lot of the stuff was, oh, Matt Painter, and that is, you're like, you know, you're not a great coach unless you have a Final Four, and now Matt Painter has that and a national championship game. I think the state of our team is in good shape. I think it's impressive, to say the least, that we're doing this without we had Lance Jones, which I will tell you is a difference. He was our one transfer, but we haven't had to get into the transfer portal much. We haven't lost many people to the transfer portal. We will see how long this goes, this little right. kind of aspect. But, you know, that's what Matt Painter has done. He's done it. And he sells it, and he basically, if anybody gets a chance to, just go to @BoilerBall. There's a video of Matt talking to the team after the loss with UConn. And he's basically talking about, you're going to have adversity in life, but how he just was thanking the players and all of those who sacrificed. Those who sacrificed playing time, sacrificed roles. Like, you know, there are guys here who on other teams, and even in our own conference in the Big Ten, who are probably starting. Okay, but we're bringing them off the bench, and we had guys who were seniors who got playing time during the regular season, and then I think Ethan Morton he got huge cheers from the crowd when he came in, but he came in to basically foul people at the end of the first halves because we had fouls to give. But you know, he was used in that role, but he had been used as a defense, but his role and another player's role were greatly reduced going into the tournament. So again, as Matt would say, you know, guys sacrificed time and playing and scoring and all of these things, but they've bought in. Like, they bought into the system. That's, and so here they are not being the players they thought they were or what they thought they might be. But then again, Painter's very honest when he's recruiting. He tells these guys, hey, you're coming to Purdue, and if you're not our best player, you know, you may have a role, and not everything will go through you. You know, and if you are the best player now, somebody else better may come in the door, and then, you know, you're going to have to. So, and people have bought that. So I'm pretty happy. It's kind of like probably where you are with Michigan football. I know you, you know, Harbaugh, since we last spoke, you have a new coach.
I'm pretty happy about that, though, too, though. I mean, it's someone that knows the program. It's someone that can recruit, you know, and can, you know. He was able to keep a little player retention. He obviously lost quite a few to the draft, but you know, so there might be a little bit of a setback, but you know, I don't think it would be it's going to be as full of a regression as if it were, you know, someone completely new to the program. So no, I'm optimistic.
You should be. And then, you know, I look at, I mean, and of course you have a new coach of basketball. I don't know how to, you know, at some level I feel kind of bad because here's a guy who essentially was gone most of the season anyway, due to health issues. But you know, if that was known or not known, you know, on some level, I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs, but yeah, I hear that. Of course, since being down here, in the Louisville area, they had a similar situation with a former player coming back to coach Kenny Payne, and that didn't go very well.
Yeah.
the only school that seems to be trying to hold on to the former player once in the NBA coaching now is IU, and they still kept their coach. So, all right, we will see how that plays out. they're loving the transfer portal. They may get some big transfer names. Awesome, great. I honestly believe – you're going to hear something it's being recorded. So it's there. Rivalries are good. Okay. You as a Michigan in football, you don't want a crappy Ohio State. Okay. The numbers when it comes to viewership and stuff like that, that's the game to watch. That's the game to watch. Okay. Maybe you as Michigan fans would love it for Ohio State to suck, but I think the state of college football would be in a worse shape if Michigan and Ohio State, especially the Big Ten, were not at the top of their respective games each and every year, battling things
absolutely
out. You know, so I feel that way towards Indiana. As painful as it is to say, yes, I would like to see Indiana be in the mix, not only for the conference, but also for tournaments and potentially being one of those teams, because you want to play the best. And I think that's, and people were, my parents thought I was crazy when I was like, they're like, oh, so maybe Alabama will win against UConn and you can play them. I'm like, no, we want UConn. They're like, why would you want UConn? I'm like, we want to beat the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I will also be honest that, you know, after we made the Final Four and we were in the Final Four, it was like we were playing with house money for those who gamble.
Sure.
So when you're playing with house money, you're like, yeah, you can't lose. And, you know, there was a little bravado in Purdue fans thinking that, you know, we were going to follow the Virginia script. And so, yeah, there was probably, because a bunch of UConn fans on the wonderful social media, formerly known as Twitter, were all like, you know, they had this bravado. Like, what was their deal? Why were all of these Purdue fans like so certain they were going to win? I'm guilty of that. I'm not going to lie. But like I said, we thought we were playing with house money. We thought this was the script. We got, you know, here we are in the national championship game. I really was constantly saying, like, we're going to win this bleepity thing. I mean, yeah. I felt that way on Monday, like, you know, all of this stuff. And we ran into a better team. And that's another thing, too. You really don't see Purdue fans, even on the toxic place called Twitter, X, whatever, not really complaining. You know, it was like, okay, we ran into a buzzsaw, a much better team. All right, well, we got the best and we lost, but hey, there it is. Let's move on.
Sure.
At least we weren't Illinois. So.
Well, let's make a little 360 here.
Sure.
Let's talk a little NASCAR here. We can get into some weather. I know it's early, but we can have some fun with that.
It's way too early. But I think it's well, first of all, I will say this much. For anybody, we are in that proverbial severe weather season. So anybody who lives even from where I'm at here in the Ohio Valley, back into the plains, and then of course the South, just through the week, be mindful, be listening to your local weather information, because there looks like this pattern that we are in could be setting up for some rough weather. Just for people's disclosure, we're recording this on Monday.
Morning, nonetheless, really early.
So just looking at things as I prepare for my week and stuff, weather definitely looks interesting around here, possibly Wednesday, places out to the west today and tomorrow or Monday, and then just continue to monitor it. But yeah, speaking of that for the weekend, as of now, some signs point to another system trying to make its way through the deep south just in time for the weekend, because we're at Talladega. And, you know, so something to be mindful of. I'm not, you can't at this far say, oh, it's going to absolutely X, Y, and Z, and it's going to do this, it's going to do that. But, you know, because it always comes down to timing. If something's slower, if something faster. The one thing I will probably say is that if you are going or watching, there's likely going to be some kind of a delay weather-related, just because, you know, even if it's timing at some point during the weekend, if it comes in faster, it could come in. So just be prepared if you're going. Bring your patience like anything. It is active. It is an outside sport. I think we've been very lucky for the most part, because I know my Twitter feed is not, yes, it's still there. It has not blown up over the last couple of weeks with NASCAR weather related stuff since like early in the season. So, you know, I think that's a plus. It, you know, it's kind of bucking the trend of, well, if you just want it to rain, have a NASCAR race. But just keep in mind that can change. So we are getting into that active spring season. And as we start to move back into the traditional NASCAR South, where it's hot, humid, and muggy during severe weather season, that threat is always there as well.
Yeah, no, it's weather. It's a pesky little thing, just like, hey, it snows up in Michigan every once in a while.
That happens, okay? That happens. You know, I last time I checked, speaking of Michigan, though, I will say this much. Besides, the other thing I really wanted to taunt you and Aaron about was the fact that, yeah, one of the reasons Michigan and Juwan Howard had to go was it was slightly embarrassing. It's one thing to have Michigan State come in and take over your arena when you're playing a basketball game, because they're not very far. But to have Purdue come in and turn it into Mackey North,
yeah,
that's pretty sad. That yep. was
well, yeah, it's funny. The only correlation I had to that was actually, and not even college, it was the Lions. We were taking over stadiums left and right this past season. So that was, yeah, that was a little embarrassing. That's for sure. You,
but then again, you know. But you know what? We brought the same energy in Detroit for the regional. I mean, when we're playing Tennessee, they had a fair amount of fans there in the regional round. But again, Purdue showed up like they did in Ann Arbor to make that almost, again, a home field crowd. So Purdue was traveling this year. It was very much a cool thing. But anyway,
yes,
get out and enjoy the NASCAR and everything. We've been spoiled weather-wise for the most part, I think. I mean, I know fans get a little frustrated. You know, they wanted a completely dry weekend, and I just feel like sometimes that's a lot to ask.
Yes. And we've talked about this. I've talked about it with Aaron. You know, it's a win if you get the race in on the scheduled day. Like, you know, that weather's going to impact. If you can still get the race in on the day, like, that could call it a win at that point in time.
And I will say this, and I know there's a lot of people who like the you know, Xfinity and like the trucks. But I do think that ultimately, you can send me a message. I do think for NASCAR's sake, the big money driver, the one that gets the most eyeballs, the one that gets the bigger TV slot is the you know, the Cup Series.
Of course.
You know, if that goes on, then you're winning.
Yeah.
And then you can move the other ones around, because I mean, the attendance at those races and stuff, you know, so that's generally, and if we don't get a practice, I'm not losing sleep.
Sure.
All right. Like you said, I would much rather sacrifice practices and some.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice, not a game. We're talking about practice.
Other aspects early on to, if we can get the big one in.
Yep.
That's generally where most people are coming at me anyway. Like, what's going on for this race? What's going on with that. But we've been very fortunate. You know, Aaron and I've there are moments where, again, I'm still trying to find my my regular footing. My job schedule doesn't allow me all the time to post like I used to back in my TV days, not to mention in March. There was a week there that it was extremely busy because, I don't know, a new Ghostbuster movie came out.
Did you like that real quick, by the way, or no?
Oh, I've seen it like five times.
Awesome. Okay.
So, but part of it, too, was I got to go for free, you know, dressing up. But I also got to go see it early in Chicago at a screening. So,
oh, sweet.
I drove all the way to Chicago with a group of Ghostbusters out of Chicago, and it was fun. It's been a blast. So,
that's cool, man.
Yeah, I if you like... Listen, don't go by the critics. If you like the series, you right. like Paul Rudd, you like some stuff, you'll like this. You'll absolutely.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, listen, man, it was great catching up with you, and we won't make it go so long this time to where, or for the next time to where you wonder if I'm still podcasting. So,
well, same likewise. I apparently need to do the same thing on the social media thing. So,
well, I'll wrap with the appropriate handle. Everybody, make sure you follow Brian on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN.
Because you will be very disappointed if you go to the other one. I'll tell you that right now.
I love it. Well, listen, man, thanks so much for calling in, and we'll catch up with you soon, man.
Sounds good.
All right, man. We'll see ya. All right, Lapped Traffic Nation. Great to catch up with Brian Newdorf there. Long time no chat. So, yes, good to have him back on. It is time to close this thing out with a little Lap Traffic Fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time this Thursday. Check the website if you need to see who you've picked. I do probably a handful of times a week. I got to send out an email. Hey, man, sorry, but you've already picked so-and-so this segment. You got another pick for me. So... and I can do that as long as I get your email before the deadline on Thursday. So get those picks in. Keep the Twitter interaction up using hashtag LTFantasy. Segment one, just a reminder, we are down to our last five cup races before the end of segment one. And we're going to start segment two. And then we'll have our cumulative standings that will pop up on the website that will set our playoff field, if you will. This past week, not too many race winners picked, but we did have our week high with Chad Harrington, who picked Bubba Wallace, Cole Custer, Nick Sanchez for 138 points, and my picks, Ty Gibbs, Sam Mayer, Nick Sanchez for 118. Finally got a second bonus point there with my Xfinity pick there. I'll take that, but I'm still dragging ass back there in 29th place, so I definitely still have some work to do in segment two. That said, let's get to our top 10 in segment one. Currently in first place with 960 points is David Mullins. In second place with 922, Dalton Brooks. In third with 913, Matt Dabrowski. In fourth with 905 is Robert Riggs. In fifth with 888 is Mark Luddington. In sixth with 865 is Joe Trelone. Seventh place with 859 is Kent Dolphy. In eighth with 858 is Ken James. In ninth with 855 is Charles LaPearl. And wrapping out our top 10 with 854, our defending champ, Andrew Yu. And over to our bonus points. We've got one, two, three. We got four players with six bonus points. It's Charles LaPearl, David Mullins, Mark Luddington, and Robert Riggs. And then we've got, looks like about seven here with five bonus points with Aaron Studwell, Andrew Yu, Brian LaFell, Dalton Brooks, David James, Eric Gold, Kevin Haughn, Matt Dabrowski. And then it's on down from there. All right, Lap Traffic Fantasy. Depending upon how you look at it, we are either going back to our second or our third super speedway, depending on how you score Atlanta. My personal thought is we are going back to our second super speedway, just because if you haven't figured me out by now, I'm sort of a traditionalist. So that's how I'm looking at it. As one would expect, not a whole lot of trends being a super speedway. Blaney, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Ross Chastain, Bubba Wallace, Brad Keselowski, our most recent winners. We've got some Chevys, some Toyotas, some Fords all thrown in the mix there. We are almost halfway through the regular season, and a lot of drivers are still looking for their first win. Who can survive the big one or big ones this weekend? who can start making up some ground in lap traffic fantasy. We will find out. But first, it's time for my picks. No truck race this weekend. They're not back until Kansas. Over to the Xfinity side of things. I'm sure now that I'm saved, I saved him purposely. He's already got the win from Daytona. He was on earlier this year. I am going to go with the 21 of Austin Hill. And on the Cup side of things, I am going to go with the one of Ross Chastain. There you have it. Those are my picks. Don't forget to get yours in. And Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to be a wrap for episode 333 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, all at Lap Traffic PC. Don't forget about the giveaways, contests. Huge thank you to Eric Jones and Brian Newdorf for calling into the show. I got to work with Dustin Albino, try to get him on so we can recap some WrestleMania. Maybe we can get that done next week. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya.